Are we going to groove tonight?
Oh, that's a given, Wendy. There's no question about it. I have to be honest, I lost a bet with myself.
About what?
I was positive you would not come in today.
Why?
Because you're going to see The Who tonight.
What do I have to do? Prep work? What? Tomorrow I may not be in.
I know that's a fact. There's no way in the world you're in tomorrow. But I've noticed that on days where you have more than one thing.
I know. I don't. Anticipatory anxiety.
It's very difficult
it.
For you. And I know that now, even though the show is hours away, you're already thinking of that.
I would so be home today, Wendy. I can't believe you're here.
There's no reason to take today off. I'll just sit around waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, tomorrow's the day.
Yeah. Well, if you take today off and then you call in sick tomorrow, people think you're really sick.
Right.
You lose your voice because you're yelling so loud.
You're going to be scream singing all night.
Oh, you know, not even scream singing, but when you try to talk or do anything over the loud din of a concert,
right.
You're always hoarse.
Right.
Plus your ears are going to get blown. So, yeah.
I imagine you saying, hey, Daltrey, keep it down. I'm trying to sing.
I was just reading an article about the show because they're backed by an orchestra tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who collaborated or put this orchestration together is Beck's dad, Beck the performer.
Really?
I know. There's like this whole thing.
Beck Sr.?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I should have known that by the name.
That's his name.
Yeah. Pete Townsend was asked, is this going to be quiet and orchestral? And he's like, no. We are going to rock.
Yeah.
I am really looking forward to
this. Yeah, I can imagine.
Except for the 50-degree weather and rain that's supposed
that.
To happen.
Do rock shows, are there rainouts? And if there is a rainout, do they show old footage from a rock show from 40 years ago like they do with baseball?
Actually, tonight they'll show Quadrophenia.
All right, well, that wouldn't be so bad. But
that'd be great.
I was actually thinking about it because when I came in, Jasmine said, what are you going to do tonight if it rains?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Mack, his mission today is to go buy ponchos because that is so rock and roll.
Oh. Stop by Pepe's Tacos, pick up some ponchos for everybody. That'll be fantastic.
Ponchos
rain
at Pepe's
ponchos.
Tacos?
They used to have them there.
Pepe's ponchos?
Yeah, the waiters there used to wear ponchos. Years ago.
For what reason?
Very, very hot salsa.
Yes.
Oh, I would like a Pepe's yes. poncho. They
All
should
right.
do that.
I'll make some calls.
But the show must go on. We're in the pavilion. Spent a lot of money for these seats, so that's good. I'm sorry for all the lawn people.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the pavilion, you don't give a care about the ponchos,
well,
do you?
The rain, the pavilion roof is pretty high.
You still got to walk to the pavilion.
That's what Jim said today. Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, suck it up.
You can't bring an umbrella to a show
they
like
won't
this.
Let them in.
They don't allow
it's a weapon.
That.
It's a weapon.
Yeah.
Well, it's a weapon, and it would also block the view of people behind you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why the Penguin never goes to see rock shows.
Rock, 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 rock. I love The Who.
Yeah.
Or the Salt Lady.
Right.
Or the Salt Lady.
Right.
But
or people
they're...
with umbrellas.
Right. True.
This is a question that, I don't know, maybe Tom Skilling has the answer to. If there's lightning going on, that band cannot be up on stage with all that equipment.
Right.
So
they
I don't
roll
know.
Out the tarp. Roger Bossert rolls out the tarp, and you have to wait it out.
I don't know.
It's going to be a long night.
I'm still looking so forward to it.
Yeah. Of course. Of course.
Wouldn't that be something if they had to delay it for thunderstorms? And then, because they also have a curfew, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because rock stars need to be in bed by 10:30.
Especially old ones.
Right.
I got work tomorrow. My son Dylan has school tomorrow. We got
to
get this thing on the roll.
You're not coming in tomorrow.
Why wouldn't I?
Really?
Sheila, you just saw The Who in Nashville. How were they?
I did. I went, I listened to you last week talk about them, and we went to Nashville, and on the spur of the moment, we went to Bridgestone Arena for Friday night, or Thursday night it was. Unbelievable.
Did it rock?
How good it was. It totally rocked.
Did it roll?
Whole orchestra. It rolled. It did everything. You will just love it. I mean, we had never seen them. We're older than you guys. They were on our list of, you know, great groups that we had never seen. Pete Townsend, he's listed as number 10 in the best Rolling Stone 10th best guitarist in the world. I can't imagine anybody better than him. It was unbelievable. The orchestra was fabulous, and they did everything you would want them to do.
Sheila, does the orchestra contribute to every song or just select songs?
A lot. They open and they play a lot, but there are some solos. I can't remember the name of the song. It's really famous, where just Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend alone. And you would have thought there was a full band playing with them. You don't even realize until halfway through that it's only the two of them on stage.
Impressive.
It's just fabulous, fabulous.
Did it rain? Was it 50 degrees in Nashville when you saw them?
No, it was in Bridgestone Arena, so we were inside, but the weather was fabulous. I hope that they play tonight. I truly do. I don't know what will happen if it rains, but sorry.
Oh.
All right. I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah. The glad you had such a good time. Show must go on, Wendy. Sheila, I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah. It was a blast. Thanks
all right,
for
thanks
letting
for
me take your call.
Sure.
My call. Thanks.
Have a great day.
I was kind of annoying yesterday. I kept sending group texts to my fam squad.
Yes.
And I was like, "Who-morrow?" And they're like, "Shut up, mom." So today is who day.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Tuesday
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. I'll be there. Tickets still available at LiveNation.com. Come say hello. I'll be rocking.
Bill
I guess
and Wendy.
Jasmine's just playing this, so in case it gets rained out, I get a little hoot going.
Yeah. Yep. I'll call you. If it gets rained out, probably Roger will call you and tell you. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, back to you, Bill.
What will you spend? I know the tickets were a little on the pricey side, but as we discussed, worth it for the four of you, for the family to see The Who. What will you spend on souvenirs, do you think? Do you have a budget, a souvenir budget?
No, the kids each want a t-shirt, and I'm looking at their website.
That's $350 right there.
The tour shirt's $40. That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
So I may get a t-shirt, maybe a baseball cap.
How about
bag.
A Who rain slicker? Will they sell those?
They should.
They should definitely sell those. Make a lot of money.
I can't wait. It just brings me back to high school. Honest to God, when I think of Bob O'Reilly, when that song comes on, I go right back to high school.
Mm. How will you react? I'm curious.
I will sing.
Yes.
I will take my shirt off.
Yep.
Because it'll be raining
business
and I'll need to
usual.
Put the new one. No. Is there a song, though, that brings you back to high school when you hear it on the radio? Besides Christopher Cross
so
sailing.
Well, that
Debbie
one.
Debbie Gibson.
I get a little weepy when I hear those songs. You know
Who wasn't in high school when Debbie Gibson was popular?
I was still auditing a phonics class. Steve is correct.
What about you, Bertrand?
Well, I'm trying to think. More college. I mean, high school.
Bob Seger, Supertramp, that was all high school.
Boston,
Styx, REO.
I never liked the album, but The Wall.
That makes sense.
What do you mean you never liked the album?
I'm not a big Pink Floyd fan, but I couldn't have. I mean,
it was everywhere.
I had an AM radio, and I didn't have a lot of choices. So I would hear Brick in the Wall about every morning driving to high school.
Yeah, they played that a lot.
That makes sense.
Hey, teacher! So that was perfect going to school.
Because I had, and I'm guessing all of us did, because everyone had mixtapes, right?
Yeah.
Right? So now when I hear one of those songs on its own on the radio, when the next song isn't the song that I had on my mixtape, I'm confused by it.
Did you label them? Were they?
Yeah.
What were they called?
Well, the best one was the Night Drive series. Because those put you in the mind of, you know, driving around late at night and, you know, very moody, very moody.
Mine was, I had four volumes, and it was called Simply Snyder.
Oh, Simply Snyder is good.
I know, that's
Wait,
lame,
you guys
too.
Really did this?
Yeah.
You made mixtapes from
yeah,
what?
Yeah, we grew
from
up in the big city.
From
yeah.
an album? From an album?
Well, no, from various artists.
Yeah.
Right? So you would have, you
no,
know.
No, I know, but you were recording them on cassette from albums.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. What else
I
was
don't
there?
Remember.
Yeah, that's how I did it. Or every once in a while, I would try to time it. To a song, like if I didn't have the 45 or the album of it, I would keep my fingers on play and
yep.
record by the radio so that if it was about to play, I could then...
I used to do that with the concerts. They'd play concerts at night, like Sunday night concert
like
or whatever.
The King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Yeah, and then so you'd sit there poised to try to stop it right when the song ended before the commercial started.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be just sitting there on the pause button.
I had a great Tom Petty concert that way.
Oh.
I was thinking about Tom Petty the other day. I cannot believe he is no longer with us. There are just certain
Isn't
people
that
I
true?
Think
yeah.
of that, like, oh, once Petty, he's not going to be coming to town.
I know. Somebody put on Facebook a couple of days ago, who was the one celebrity whose death moved you the most? And I can't name one. I've got like a dozen, but everybody has at least one.
For me, it's absolutely David Bowie.
Is it really?
Yeah, and... I don't have a good explanation for it. I wasn't a huge fan. I saw him once, but I just miss him.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird.
I forget he's gone, too.
Is there one particular for you, Wendy, that you just...
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah,
And I was working on the air at The Loop at the time, and Greg Salk was our program director, and there was the big three-day extravaganza at Alpine Valley. The last night of Stevie Ray Vaughan's show, his brother Jimmy Vaughan was on stage with him. Buddy Guy clapped, and it was an all-star jam. And I was bummed that I had to work and
right.
couldn't go to the show. And then Greg called and said, I have some terrible news. Reports are saying there was a helicopter crash, and it's believed that Stevie Ray was in it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So then very smart Greg Salk says, you know, let's do a block of Stevie Ray Vaughan songs and stand by. Don't reveal anything until we know for a fact. And there was no internet then. So.
Right.
You didn't have this breaking news, but he had just become sober. He had cleaned up his life. He and his brother did this album together, and it just was a great time for Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I know it was Alpine Valley in East Troy, Wisconsin, but it was such a Chicago thing with Buddy Guy being there.
Well, I was chasing that story, Wendy, and they were staying, I believe, right here at the Hyatt. I got through to... Wasn't he with Clapton at that show?
Yeah.
So I got through to Clapton's road manager or someone like that at the Hyatt trying to confirm it.
That's the one. I'm covered in goosebumps right now. And I mean, I loved Stevie Ray Vaughan, but that wasn't like I wasn't president
right.
of his fan club. But for some reason, that's just such a memorable one for
right.
me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe I was on the air when it was breaking. That could have something to do with it.
That very well could play into it, but the fact that you were a fan probably supersedes everything else.
Yeah,
right?
It was just tragic.
And he was so young. It was so unexpected. Things were turning around for him.
And it's not his fault, you know? It's like
right.
he could have died being all boozed up and on drugs before, but no, cleaned up his act, and
right.
then beyond his control, helicopter crash.
Sorry. Wait, Mary, I was just going to say, I'm anxious to hear yours, but let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll get you some news, and then we'll carry this over into the next half hour. What celebrity death was the most moving or shocking to you? Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. We'll cover that in a few minutes. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I like what you did there with Tinley Park. Thank you.
It's all for you, baby.
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, The Who tonight. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about someone in the news that really changed your life when they lost theirs. Stevie Ray Vaughan did it for me.
Yeah, you were saying Stevie Ray Vaughan. Steve mentioned David Bowie. I'm looking at the text lines, Wendy. No surprise here. A lot of people are saying Michael Jackson. A lot of people are saying Elvis Presley, Princess Diana. That's not a shock. The one that is shocking me, tons of response on John Ritter, which is warranted.
That one bothered me a lot.
Yep. Several people mentioning James Gale Duffini, of course, from The Sopranos. Tom Petty getting several votes. Not that we're voting on this, but you know what I mean. Glenn Frey.
Yeah.
The drummer from Spinal Tap. That's very funny. Janis Joplin. Somebody pointing out that they were really upset when they heard that Rona Barrett had died.
She is not dead.
Then they had their spirits lifted, just as Rona's spirit was lifted.
So true.
Kathy's on the line. She has one, too. Hey, Kath.
Hi, Wendy. You know, I have to agree with you on Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's not the choice I'm going to give, but I bought myself the tickets to his concert for my birthday, which was the day before he died.
At least you got to see him.
At least I got to see him. But then to have that happen right after, oh, my God. I do have a question for you really quick, though. I remember Stevie Ray and Robert Cray. I don't remember Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy was there the last night for the All-Star Jam.
Okay. That's why I missed it, because I wasn't there that night.
And I missed mentioning Robert Cray, because he's pretty great, too.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, mine was a twofer. I was shocked when Carrie Fisher died, and then her mom, Debbie Reynolds, died right after.
Yes. Was it 2 days later?
One or two, yeah.
Yeah, it was right after.
Yeah, that was a shocker to lose both of them. And I loved Debbie Reynolds from years back.
Of course.
So, yeah.
All right, Kath.
Thanks
sorry
so much,
for your
Kath.
Loss, but that was kind of a shocking one.
A lot of people mentioning Robin Williams, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
Jim Henson is getting a lot of mentions online. Michael Hutchins from INXS.
We had just had him on.
Yeah, a couple of weeks before, or a couple of months before. Philip Seymour Hoffman, somebody said that was a shock to them, and it was. Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Poor Chris Farley.
Yeah. Mary, we didn't get to hear yours. What was yours?
Well, I had kind of a double just because it was both were my age. Well, besides Lady Di, she was exactly my age. And when that happened, I was just struck. But then John F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
Really hit me hard because, first of all, I had the hots for him.
Oh, who didn't?
Everybody did. And it was just so bad because he was just getting his life back, you know, kind of going on his own way with his magazine and his new wife and all that. And boom, that was just awful.
Yeah. No question.
And Jan wanted to jump in. Jan, you have another Kennedy? Hey, Jan. Jan. Breaker 19. Is your name Jan? Hello, listener. All right, we have a bad connection, but John Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's going to be, That's going to be your big
one. No doubt about it. Several people mentioning, of course, locally, Paul Harvey, a voice here at WGN, and then Bob Collins, somebody said when that played it made them cry. Johnny Carson getting several mentions.
Warren Zevon getting a mention, too. That was sad.
Jerry Garcia's name has been brought up a couple of times here on the list.
Who are yours?
I have so many.
I figured
I really
did.
Do. From the world of music, John Lennon is the one that meant the most to me. That was a very hard night. I was working that night. A customer had come in and said, you heard about John Lennon, right? And I went, I did not hear about John Lennon. And then they told me, and I honestly, I was on the verge of tears. You know,
in such a weird way, like a fan.
Yeah.
You know?
Very, very strange.
Who got an autograph hours earlier. That one is
very
still
strange.
Like the most bizarre.
From the world of comedy, most of mine are comedians, as you'd probably guess, but Don Rickles, because I got to meet him and
because
he meant so much to me for so long, that was very, very tough. Gene Wilder's death hit me extremely hard for a bunch of reasons. But the two most notable, well, George Carlin is up there as well, but the two that were the hardest for me were John Belushi and Freddie Prinze. Both of them, my brain wouldn't accept it on either one of them. It was just too hard, you know?
Someone, of course, John Bonham died. I have a letter from the Wurtz Organization refunding my Zeppelin ticket money after Bonzo died because they were scheduled to be here. Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, that one kind of hit me,
that
too.
That was tough.
And Prince. No one's mentioned Prince. A lot of people...
Several people online. I've seen a couple of mentions
that one
of Prince.
Me.
Jim Barney, is that... Is that the guy?
Vern,
know,
hey,
know
Vern.
What I mean, Vern? That's him,
Jim
right?
Jim Varney.
Jim Varney.
Yeah, they said Jim Barney in the text, but I think they mean Jim Varney, right?
Jim Croce.
Jim Croce, right? That
John
would be,
Denver. I got to throw that in there.
You and I were working mornings at Q101 the day that happened, and we weren't sure. It all sounded like it was a made up story.
And we had. Oh, I wish
that he
we
built
still...
his own plane.
Yeah.
And it failed.
And we had a friend who worked for, like, directory assistance.
Yes.
Do you remember?
They'd get us phone numbers of celebrities.
Right. Yeah. And we called the Coast Guard to find out if John Denver's head was ever recovered, and it wasn't. Do you remember that?
Right. Yep. Somebody here, very sad about Steve Irwin. That's the
Oh, that was shocking.
Yeah.
John Candy.
Oh. Now, John Candy died the same day as another celebrity, and much like, because somebody else makes mention of this, Farrah Fawcett died kind of at the same time as
Michael Jackson,
she got no attention. Somebody else died the day that John Candy died, and I want to say it was River Phoenix.
Ooh.
Is that possible that they died on the same day? Because I remember River Phoenix was getting pretty much the bulk of the attention, and I kept thinking, well, John Candy means something, too. Why isn't he getting much press on this? But that was a tough... I'm almost sure that was the case, that it was River Phoenix and John Candy. Somebody mentioned Aaliyah.
Aaliyah,
right.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze's death meant a lot to me. It was very hard for me. Somebody says Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
That was tough. That was very, very tough.
He was so good in that. Dark Knight.
Yep.
Chet Kopick has to be thrown in there, too, because that one just shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. But isn't it strange, like, in many of these cases, these are people that we never really met, and yet sometimes it moves you more than somebody you knew, because you either idolize them or you were a fan of their work and you just went, well, we'll have them forever, right? And then you don't.
And there are all these plane crashes. Like Harry Chapin, too, was another one.
Yep.
My sister was crying because she was going to his concert. She was so upset.
Buddy Holly, of course.
Sure.
Big bopper.
Yeah. Yeah.
See why I don't like to fly? I know it doesn't happen that
Harry
much.
Harry Chapin was in a car crash.
Yeah, I think it was a car crash. I thought it was a plane.
No, I don't think so.
That was a car crash.
That was Jim Croce I was thinking of.
You guys remind me, you know the Jim Carroll song? These are people who died.
Right.
Yeah, this is really uplifting. Right.
I guess. I don't even know how this started. I'm sorry. It's Bill's fault. It started
with
the Rona.
Just want to get you in
a
happy mood for tonight's show, Wendy. That's all.
You know, you didn't bring up the Queen Mum, too.
The Queen Mum, of course. UB Blake was a shock to many of us when he died. George Burns.
Too young.
Way too young, too soon on George Burns.
It's a Tech Tuesday, and this is when we find out about stories in the tech world. Please welcome senior editor at CNET TV, Ashley Esqueda. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
All right. A lot of times we talk about goofy things on Tech Tuesday, like robotic dogs or girlfriends. But this time, this is something that is pretty...
That's not goofy, by the way, Wendy, just for the record.
This is pretty amazing to me. Google and Northwestern have teamed up to help spot a certain type of cancer. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, this is a prime example of when tech and research and science meet and do potentially great things. So Google and Northwestern developed this AI that was able to
artificial intelligence, for those of us who
may not know. Artificial intelligence that was able to outperform doctors in spotting certain types of lung cancers. So how the test worked was, it was a very small test, so this isn't proven, you know, solid, accepted science quite yet, but they were able to do two different tests. So the first one, they said, okay, we're going to take six doctors here, and we're going to give them scans from patients, and we're going to have them look at them and see if they could detect signs of cancer with no previous scans available. So these are just the first time someone's been scanned. And they gave the same test to the artificial intelligence. And then in the second test, they gave both the artificial intelligence and the doctors previous patient scans as well as the most recent scan. So in the test where both the AI and the doctors got previous patient scans, they were able to perform equally. So the doctors were able to see that there were signs of cancer or not. And the AI was able to, like I said, perform equally to the doctor's ability. But the more interesting outcome was on the ones where there were not previous scans available, the AI actually outperformed the doctors in being able to see if something was cancerous or not. So there's a possibility that going forward, we may use AI as sort of an assistant to doctors. It certainly won't replace them, but definitely may help them in spotting cancers earlier on scans with patients who have never been scanned before. So it's really exciting, sort of small but significant breakthrough.
And you would imagine, Ashley, that if this is being done for lung cancer, there's no reason to believe they couldn't extend this to other forms of cancer, right?
Absolutely. And it kind of works in the way that, so we're all kind of familiar with how MRIs and CT scans work, where doctors look at individual slices of pictures of our insides. And so how this AI would work is it kind of looks at almost a 3D image all at one time. So they believe that's the reason they're able to sort of see past, see past those first scans without previous scans and say, okay, I see what's happening here. I have a clear picture of it. And now I can notify, I can say for certain or not, the AI can say whether somebody might have cancer, which is pretty amazing. And I would imagine it would extend to other types.
That is pretty cool when you think about it. All right, and here's a weird story in the news on this Tech Tuesday. There is a sound so loud it can boil water. You remember that commercial? Is it Live or Memorex?
You can
sing.
Fitzgerald.
Yes, you could sing a note so high it would shatter glass, but now there's a sound so loud it boils water. Oh, I can make my mac and cheese so much easier now. Explain this.
Well, you definitely don't want to try to make mac and cheese with this sound level. So there are researchers at Stanford, and they have it's called an X-ray laser, and they're able to hit a small amount of water, and they sort of reached an upper limit on the sound level required to keep water in its form without actually sending it, without actually evaporating it. So this is like the highest temperature we can get water using sound without making it completely disintegrate, which is the equivalent of about 270 decibels. And that is louder than a rocket launch. Jeez. And if your body were exposed to that sound, it would pretty much liquefy you. It would not be a good thing. So we definitely won't be seeing larger scale tests of this X-ray laser. But it is interesting for science, obviously, for things like testing and research in the future. If they need to keep water at a very high temperature without it evaporating, they now kind of have a better understanding of, you know, maybe we can use this X-ray laser to keep it in its liquid form without, you know, completely destroying it. And so maybe we can have some more consistent testing available to us.
The look on your face right now, Bill, is priceless.
I know. I'm going to ask a very dark question, Ashley, but couldn't somebody then harness this and use this as a weapon?
Like a ray gun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always the question you want to ask, you know, going forward with technology. I think obviously, I think we're pretty far away from that, but, you know, it's not, I always say, for me personally, I always say that whenever we develop new technology, scientists should always be asking what's the worst case scenario, what's the worst thing that somebody could use this technology for. So I think you're on the right track, Bill. I think it's not a bad question to ask, and it's something that people should always be aware of.
Sure.
I'm glad you're not in charge of things.
Me too.
I'd be very worried.
Yeah.
And finally, we only have a minute here, but there may be a merger deal that won't go through. Explain this T-Mobile Sprint deal.
So T-Mobile wants to buy Sprint, and the FCC, the head of the FCC, has now said, I think it has my blessing with some caveats. Here are some specific things that, you know, they have to do. And but the Department of Justice may actually go a little bit rogue and say, no, we don't really feel that's enough. It's still kind of shaky on antitrust, and they may have to do more, or they may actually to prevent the deal from happening. So we're keeping an eye on that. And if you're interested in that story, you can always head over to CNET.com and read more about it.
Perfect. We thank you so much for all this information on a Tech Tuesday. She's Ashley Esqueda. You can find her on social media at Ashley Esqueda or CNET.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ashley.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust you with a ray gun in your hand.
Thank you.
Order the X-ray specs.
I did. They're due in on Friday of next week, so I'll let you know how they work.
When did you order them?
When I was six. Takes a while.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And there's a new exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications that I'm pretty excited about. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's traveling exhibit. And we'll find out all about it. I can't wait to see it. Time rock and roll. If you want to see it live in action, you know, I have to tell you, Bill, I have not been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet, and I'm dying to go. But this is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame traveling exhibit.
It's come to you.
A little of it is going to come to us. And Justin Kolubsek in the studio with us right now, Vice President of Innovation for the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Congrats on the new exhibit.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. We're really excited. It opens here on Friday. So,
and this combines politics and rock and roll and world events. Explain the whole thing.
Yeah, so the exhibit is Rock Power, or is Louder Than Words, Rock Power and Politics. And so it takes you from Eisenhower through Trump, and it looks at 8 different social topics kind of throughout the exhibit. But then what the music was at that time, mm-hmm. why the music was this way, everything from civil rights to Vietnam War, mm-hmm. on both sides of that, too. So it's not only, you know, we've got the Green Beret, the song The Green Beret, and then yeah. we've got, you know, anti-war songs as well. And so lots of different artifacts. There's a lot of different crazy memorabilia.
Will there be Bill Clinton's saxophone?
There is. Bill Clinton's saxophone is in the exhibit. We have
the one he played on Arsenio Hall, that yes. same one?
Yeah.
Oh, and MTV, impressive. Right?
Yeah.
Madonna's shoes from Like a Virgin.
Yeah.
Boy, did I go through those lace fingerless glove phases back then.
Yeah.
I really did.
But it's time to take them off, Wendy.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I know,
you're wearing
I guess.
Them today. It's ridiculous.
Some handwritten lyrics. This is what I'm excited about.
So... a few different ones. One is Bob Dylan's Times They Are Changing. So those, we have the original lyrics there. We also have James Brown wrote some lyrics here at a hotel in Chicago, and we have those.
Like on
lyrics.
A napkin or something?
It's on like the stationery for the hotel.
Oh, that's so cool.
I didn't notice that they were from Chicago, and then I looked at it, and it's like the Sheraton
O'Hare, how cool.
Chicago, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's so cool.
That's pretty cool. We also have Neil Young's Ohio. So we've got those lyrics as well.
That's a political song, definitely.
Yeah. And we also have, there's a lot of artifacts actually from Kent State. The flag that actually flew over Kent State the day.
Oh, wow.
That, May 4th, 1970.
So. Justin, with the song lyrics written on their natural paper mm-hmm. or napkins or wherever they were written, envelopes, are there a lot of changes to them? Do you see a lot of cross-outs and arrows
some.
And stuff?
Yeah. You actually see... for especially Neil Young's, you see like definite arrows, you see some crossouts.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan's are actually in really nice penmanship.
I could see that.
Just kind
he
of
had a composition notebook.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Probably. Yeah.
So there's those. So there's actually some pretty
Springsteen.
Cool.
There's a Springsteen song.
There's some Springsteen stuff as well. In the exhibit, we have Dee Snider actually just tweeted at us the other day that we have the outfit he wore when he testified before Congress about freedom of speech and about music censorship.
Right.
And so he actually tweeted and said, I think my outfit now is in Chicago and, you know, glad that they have it there.
And it is part of this traveling show.
Yeah.
Tipper Gore, that's all I think of when I think about rock and roll now. She's ruined it for me.
Yeah.
And remember, it was remember that it was Frank Zappa, John Denver, and Dee Snider.
Look at that weird trio.
So those were the ones, you know, and everyone thought that they were going to be these, you know, that Dee Snider wasn't going to be eloquent, and here he came up, and he was... ready to go. And
that's what sold it, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you manage to come across these items? What's the process by which you get, because it's an incredible array of, how do you do it?
So this exhibit came directly from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So this exhibit has traveled the country a little bit. It started at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It went to the Newseum in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's hit some of the presidential libraries. Right before this exhibit was at the Clinton Library, Museum and Library. And after this, it's going to go to the Bush Library in Texas.
You did a great job with the Saturday Night Live, the experience.
Amazing.
That was unbelievable.
So great.
You know, we were really sad to see SNL leave.
Yeah.
But we are really also excited that this is coming in. This is a much more traditional, a little more educational exhibit. But at the same time, the artifacts are in some cases, some people have said they're actually greater than what you had. You know, I mean, you have Eric Clapton's 9/11 guitar, Eric Clapton's guitar from Concert for Bangladesh, Aretha Franklin's hat worn at the Obama inauguration. We also have Joy Villa's Make America Great Again Trump dress coming, mm-hmm. so that she wore at the Grammy Awards. Lots of different artifacts throughout. So it's a pretty incredible. I mean, when you first walk in, the first thing you see is looking at Eisenhower and Kennedy, and you see right there Odetta's famous guitar that she played all these civil rights songs on.
See, that's just what connecting all the music and the history is like right up my alley. Everything you mention, I seriously get little shivers and goosebumps thinking about these things.
We have, because it's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
Yep.
Wow,
we have one of the, we have the vest that was worn by Jefferson Airplane.
Grace Slick.
So, yeah, Grace Slick's vest. So, and there's actually a funny little story behind it. Like, had we known that it was going to be muddy and oh. rainy, I would never have worn a white vest. So that's pretty fun.
Boy, that makes it stand out a lot more, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, there's, it's a really great, really great exhibit. Everything from civil rights. We have for LGBT rights. We have the village people. We have all the costumes.
Not the headdress.
Yeah, we have everything.
Native American headdress.
Yes,
which was your favorite village person?
That one. The guy who wore the Native American headdress.
But I like the construction worker.
I can't remember
worker.
Which guy. Was it the construction worker award? I couldn't remember who
the
wore
the Native American. Oh,
they will.
No.
Sometimes.
It's a really great exhibit. There's actually a whole area also about political campaigns, and that's where Bill Clinton's saxophone is in that area. But really, really just awesome things. And then the other thing that the museum is reopening is the Radio Hall of Fame. So
oh,
we have the Paul and Angel Harvey radio studio ready to go. We have the Radio Hall of Fame. We're right now celebrating rock DJs and political and news because of the exhibit. And then we'll be changing those out every few months.
Is there a Wendy Snyder wing up yet, Justin? Because a lot of people have called and
coming
asked for
soon.
One. Very soon.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
We are also bringing back a whole new exhibit about the Kennedy-Nixon debate.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Chicago.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have the original camera.
Will you have any of
Service.
Richard Nixon's flop sweat? People would love to see that.
In a little
that.
Vial?
In a small vial.
Sell it at the gift shop.
And JFK's makeup.
Oh, yeah? You know? The caked on makeup?
Yeah.
I know this is a strange question, but bear with me. For years and years and years, at any museum, it was a thrill for people to look at history. You were looking at something that meant something in a particular time. I know kids' attention spans are different than they used to be. Is it? Do kids still get that they're looking, they're just, you know, inches away from history? Is that still appreciated by kids?
I think it depends, you know, again...
How old are you talking?
It also depends on the topic. You know, I think for this, especially anyone that's a music lover, it doesn't matter if you're 10 or 100, you're going to go through and you're going to be blown away by these.
Oh,
I mean, these artifacts are, you walk in and you're just like, I can't believe that's here.
There it is.
You know?
Video interviews by certain people?
Yeah, we've got Jimmy Carter, Greg Allman, Gloria Estefan, Dee Snider, just to name a few. Bono is on there as well. We also have Bono's jacket he wore after 9/11 at the Super Bowl.
Mm.
So that first Super Bowl after, where he had the American flag on his inside of his jean
jacket. Yeah, I remember
so
that.
We have that.
Do you remember when I used to say I don't want political comments from my rock and rollers?
I do remember that. Yes,
but sometimes and somewhere it makes a difference. I think you know, and I have so much hope in the future of politics because of the kids today. They are so much more informed. I got to be honest with you. When I was 16, I didn't really care what was going on. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I mean, now they're exposed to it, and I believe children are our future.
Hold on, Wendy. I'm going to write that down. I'm quoting you on that.
All right. Right in our backyard, we have the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And on the air with us today, Vice President of Innovation for the Museum, Justin Kolubsek. And Justin, we were talking about this new exhibit. And what is the name? Louder Than Words, Rock, Power, and Politics.
Absolutely. It opens this Friday at the museum, 360 North State Street.
Is it equal parts rock, power, and politics, or does one get a little bit of a favorite?
I think with the exhibit being from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the artifacts are all from them.
Yes.
But really the message throughout the entire piece. I mean, you see one of the cool things on every panel for every president, it says what the top five songs were.
I love that.
The day that they were inaugurated.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of a fun little trivia piece.
Yeah.
It also talks about what their campaign song was.
Oh.
Little trivia fact.
Yeah.
There's only one president since Eisenhower that has not had an official campaign song.
Donald Trump.
Correct.
Oh, wow, Wendy.
You get a coffee mug.
That was excellent.
Thank you. That is the biggest coffee mug I have ever seen. Yes, I think he started using something. was it the Rolling Stones Start Me Up or something? They said, no, you can't stop using it.
Yeah, there's actually a whole section about political campaign songs and how they're chosen. So it's a really cool. There's a whole film that you watch, and it even talks about how Bill Clinton finally chose Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, yeah. Fleetwood Mac. It was actually his driver at the time put in the cassette tape and hit play and said, this is your song.
Oh, wow.
And he was that's like, yes, excellent. We need to call them and get that.
Yeah. Albie, that's a good one. Worst Bill Clinton ever. More than 50 artists and political figures are featured in this exhibit. Just to run through a few of my faves, Clapton, Sam Cooke, Bob Dylan, Lady Gaga, Jimi Hendrix, Chrissy Hynde, Cyndi Lauper, John Lennon, Elvis Presley, Bob Marley, Springsteen, Ann Wilson. Bob Marley was so into the politics and music with what was going on in Jamaica at the time. So and I think back of, I don't want to hear politics from my artists. That's really all Bob Marley did.
And we have one of very few artifacts actually from Bob Marley in this exhibit.
Can you say what, or would
it's
you
a,
prefer
it's
not
a shirt
to...
that he wore.
Oh, nice.
But it's in a, there's an area dedicated to international,
yeah.
International issues as well.
Yeah.
And so it's in there. So.
Do you ever get one of these rock shirts and it's a little gamey? What do you do with that?
You know, unfortunately, everything came. The Rockaholic, she came and installed everything.
Yeah.
So they seal up the ones that are.
Right.
Yeah, no, everything is 100% encased.
Oh, that's
in
better.
Glass and,
all right.
And everything
that's
all protected.
Our own Dave Plyer is executive vice president of the museum's board of directors, and there's a quote from him if I could read it.
Yes.
From the moment rock and roll hit the airwaves, it has played a crucial role in politics and social movements around the world. This exhibit will bring to life the impact and inspiration music has had on American history for nearly six decades. It's a great quote because it really covers what's going on at this exhibit.
Yeah, the other quote that the Rock Hall used, and that is, whether you're red or blue, mm-hmm. we all bleed rock and roll.
Mm.
And it's really true.
I want a t-shirt that says that,
mm-hmm. right?
I want to wear it to the Who show tonight.
We have to act fast, Justin. Was there one president of anybody featured in this exhibit that really, really was more into music than the others, or is it pretty equal?
So the area, I would say, that's the largest is Richard Nixon.
Is it really?
But that's really because of what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
The Vietnam War, worst time ever, but gave us the best music, yeah. in my opinion,
it's kind
ever.
Of the Johnson-Nixon room, and even a little Ford, that area, it's the largest gallery space.
Yeah.
Where then there's some, you know, Eisenhower, there's two little panels about
Eisenhower, a huge Nickelback fan. That's been
exactly,
well documented.
Exactly. But you know, some really cool things you know, listed in here, and opens Friday. It's only here till Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. Fast. Three months.
Right. You have to come and see it. Tickets at museum.tv, and I have to also give a little shout out to our locally presented sponsor, ConAgra Brands. Their foundation
mm-hmm.
came in to say, we love everything about this. We love the education mission. We love the different areas that are focused
yeah.
in here, and so we want to support.
Thanks,
this.
ConAgra Brands. So,
yeah.
Appreciate it.
I wonder what Keith Richards has contributed, maybe a cigarette butt encased in glass.
What is amazing is this. You walk around. I now have gone through multiple times, and every time I'm seeing another. I'm like,
sure.
I had no idea the James Brown lyrics that I've talked about. I had no idea they were in one of these cases. And I'm looking. I'm like, that's James Brown. And then it's and then the more I looked at it, I'm like, they were written in Chicago.
Right.
That's a really cool connection.
You got to see
really
it, Wendy.
Is.
It's a folder, and on the folder it says.
How right do you there. Spell that? I'm unclear. What's the address at the Museum
yeah,
of
so
Broadcast Communications?
We are at the state. We are at the corner of State and Kinsey, so 360 North State Street, right next to House of Blues. So
it opens this Friday, May 24th. It runs through Labor Day. So do not snooze, or you will miss this completely because then it moves on somewhere else.
Yeah, and this is going to the Bush Presidential Library after.
That's where it's headed next. We only have a minute, but you have another thing coming up after this in about three and a half months. Can you just quickly mention what this is?
Yes. So we have partnered this entire year with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so we are also bringing another exhibit that's never traveled anywhere called Stay Tuned, Rock on Television. So
that sounds great.
It's going to be a really another really cool exhibit looking at the history of rock and roll on television. It's going to be great. But Louder Than Words is rock power and politics. Lots of fun. Really educational, but you're going to have a great time while you're there as well.
And students get a discount. Students and educators with an ID, correct?
And military.
Look at that. All right, go to museum.tv. You can follow them on social media as well, museum@museumtv. Justin Kolubsek, Vice President of Innovation for the Museum of Broadcast Communications. I remember years ago that really no one went to the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It was super cool to me because I'm in radio, but I didn't know how it related to the general public. With these exhibits coming through, great job. Brings people in there.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. Just because we these kids with their rock and roll, Wendy. When is it going to end?
The kids are all right.
It's so loud.
The Who tonight. I will be there. Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
You're opening for The Who?
No. Rainwolf.
Oh,
and
Rain
it's
Wolf
raining.
Is.
It's going to rain.
The appropriately named Rainwolf. And there will be wolves. You know there's going to be wolves.
With that, yes, you're right. And Love, Rain, or Me, maybe it can be timed perfectly so the rain sound effects and the real rain will happen at the same time.
That'd be great.
I'll make the best of it,
Bill.
What a
show. What a show. All right. Can we talk about the Tom Brady story? This is crazy.
It is a weird one.
I'm going to come at it from a strange angle. Trust me, though, Tom Brady is involved. Yesterday was the return of James Holzhauer, Jamie, to his friends
and
family.
It's on our DVR.
He returned to Jeopardy after a two-week absence. For those of you who watch the show, you already know this, but Jamie Holzhauer, so far, is the second greatest Jeopardy contestant of all time. Ken Jennings, still the number one, in terms of how much money he won and how many days he won. Jamie Holzhauer, still in second, but rapidly approaching, okay? He's been off for 2 weeks because Jeopardy, from time to time, does a special tournament. They just spent 2 weeks doing a teacher's tournament. That ended on Friday, so yesterday Jamie returned. And he won.
I was going to ask you that.
He won. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Well, no. I will still watch it.
He did amazing. He's always amazing.
I hope he's on it around Christmas time.
I don't think you have to worry. I really don't. All right, the reason I bring Jamie Holzhauer into this and Jeopardy on this is that Tom Brady says, in a story published today, that he and his wife, the lovely Giselle Bundchen.
I love the way you said it.
Giselle. Had a bet on the episode yesterday. If Jamie Holzhauer lost, he being Tom Brady, he would have to eat a strawberry.
That's and not you a say, losing
what,
bet.
What kind of, so what?
Best fruit ever.
It's a pretty, the strawberry is fantastic. This is special because, according to Tom Brady, he has never in his life eaten a strawberry. Ladies and gentlemen of the courtroom, I ask you, is it possible for a human being to be on this planet, on planet Earth, for this long and never to have had a strawberry? How?
I know that some people are very allergic to strawberries, but you would think either you know that or you had an anaphylactic reaction after eating one and never eating it again. But I can't.
Anaphylactic, of course, the name of his ex-girlfriend prior to marrying Giselle Bundchen. He was dating a model named Anaphylactic, who was fantastic. Now, according to this story, Wendy, he's not allergic, and it says they say it's not part of the diet that he's on. They call it the TB12 diet, Tom Brady 12. I don't know what the 12 refers to. I'm not sure what that refers to.
I don't like
But he has just avoided. Now, I was talking to Dave Ennett earlier. Dave said that his wife, Karen, has also never had a strawberry. And I threw my arms up. I did this. I went, wah, like that, like I do sometimes. And he said she's not comfortable with the texture of a strawberry.
Well, there are little baby seeds in it.
Small strawberry seeds.
That sometimes get stuck in your teeth.
But having never had one, would that be the natural fear of a strawberry? Would you say, I would have that, but I see small seeds that could potentially get stuck in my teeth. So thanks, but no thanks.
Well, now I need to know if they eat raspberries. Or blackberries.
Yeah. Right. Tom Brady seems like a very healthy individual. You would imagine that berries of some sort are in his in his TB12 diet, you would think.
Careful what you wish for.
Dave Bennett's here, Wendy.
Just a point of clarification.
Yes.
Because I mentioned this topic to my wife.
Yes.
And she corrected me. She has tasted one.
Oh, she did have a strawberry.
She has tasted one, and she's never had another one.
How could you not like a strawberry, Karen? I just don't
get
that.
Were you with her at the time?
I don't think so. I think it was before I was on the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, the good news is, as Dave pointed out, you like strawberries.
I like them. My son really likes them, so... We always got the excess strawberry, so I was okay with it.
That is one of my favorite fruits, and I just can't comprehend how you wouldn't enjoy it, especially if it's super ripe and it's a little sweet, it's a little tart. It's perfect.
Right, right. Karen's problem with the strawberry, and I can't speak for Tom Brady, but it's textural. Right? She's not a fan of the texture.
I believe
that. You
that's
think that's
it.
What it is?
I think that's it. She's just not much of a fruit eater.
Really?
Yeah. She eats cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Not honeydew, grapes. Right? Honeydew is the worst thing ever grown.
It's got
no taste.
Yeah. I mean, if you given a choice between cantaloupe and honeydew, you would take cantaloupe.
Well, yeah. Dave, as you know, every year for Christmas, I send you and Karen a huge fruit basket. What does she do with all that fruit? She just throws it away?
I take
eat them all?
Yes.
Thank you.
But we really appreciate it. Don't stop.
No, I'm going to continue.
Okay.
Well, the kicker here is...
he's a quarterback, Wendy. Tom Brady's a quarterback.
The kicker is he's on... His diet is pretty much like no sugar. Like he can't have ketchup. He can't have anything with sugar. And strawberries have natural sugar.
Right. Like sucrose sugar, right? Is that what's in strawberries?
I'm not a chemist or
wait, you're not
nutritionist,
a chemist or fructose?
But
Wendy,
yeah, probably fructose.
Thought you were a chemist.
No, but this would be breaking his diet to do it.
Wouldn't
that be funny if he blew up and got
right? He's huge. What happened to Tom Brady? Let himself go. He had a strawberry.
One granule of natural sugar.
Are you familiar with what he calls the TB12 diet? Because I don't know that.
I've read a little bit about it, but I don't know much.
It's named for himself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's number 12. That's
number 12.
All makes
Here's
sense.
What you have to avoid if you're part of the TB12 sports diet.
Yeah.
You can't have alcohol, no artificial sweeteners, no barbecue sauce with added sugar, no barley, no bread, no breakfast cereal, no cake or cupcakes, canola, candy, cheese, corn, fruit juice, frozen dinners, ketchup, lemonade, pasta, pretzels. Why live?
Come on, Tom Brady.
Why live?
It's not as restrictive. Wendy, you're familiar with my BL12 diet, right? Where you can't have Brussels sprouts. That's it.
That's the only
item. That's all you can't have.
You need
to
avoid.
Have them ever.
No syrup, no soy, no soda.
No fun.
No potato chips, no pretzels, no potatoes, soy sauce, yogurt. I'm telling you, they should make a list of what you can eat.
What can you eat on that diet? That's it, right?
And Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
Well, whatever he's doing seems to be working okay. That's the only thing I would say.
No, that's true.
He came up with these recovery pajamas that Under Armour makes, this sleepwear that supposedly allows him to recover more quickly.
Like compression maybe, where it massages you?
I've seen that, but I don't know exactly what it is about them
that
enables athletes to recover more quickly from injuries or workouts.
But,
hey, whatever, it's working for him.
He can't have jelly.
He can never have jelly? Ever?
Doesn't
That's
say
nuts.
No jam.
Do you think Karen will ever again try a strawberry? Like, will she ever go, all right, it's been 20 years, enough of this nonsense, I'm going to try one.
You know, I think if you or Wendy asked her to, she would.
She would do it for us?
Yeah, but not for me.
Oh, that's not fair.
Well, that's all right. There's more for you then.
That's not fair at all.
That's true.
One of my dad's friends, you know, his friend Jerry.
Yes.
All right. Jerry, he's no longer with us, Dave, but back when he was around, this will sound crazy, especially living in Chicago, he never had pizza ever. And sometimes my parents and Jerry and his wife would go out to dinner and they'd want to get pizza. And Jerry goes, not for me. I'm not having pizza. This went on for years and years and years. And then one day my dad said, Jerry, life is too short. You have to try pizza. You just have to have, if you don't have it, if you don't like it, never again. But you must try pizza. It then became his favorite food.
Why did he not try it?
He just thought that the combination of those ingredients wouldn't work well together, and he couldn't be more wrong, obviously.
My son Michael, when did babies start eating real food? Around a year old?
A little over a year, maybe. Yeah.
And we gave him pizza for the first time, and he was like, I don't like this pizza. And Jim and I said, well, you cannot be our son anymore then. It's just not going to work. I don't know if maybe it was too hot. I don't know, but now he loves pizza, thank God, or I would have had to give him back.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't you guys think there are certain things that it seems like the whole world eats and enjoys, and yet for whatever reason, like with me, it was always, onions. I can't stand it. And there are probably a lot of people, might be a bad example, because there might be a lot of people who don't care for onions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But most people eat them.
Yeah.
Not even grilled onions when they become sweet?
What about Funyuns?
Funyuns, I've never cared for.
You don't like Funyuns?
Well, because they taste like an onion ring.
Yeah, right. I guess. Yeah, all right.
But tomatoes would be my example. Now I will eat certain tomatoes.
I love tomatoes.
Was this gradual or was this overnight?
The eating the tomatoes?
Yeah.
Gradual.
Gradual.
Yeah.
Bill, you don't like them on a sandwich, but you like them elsewhere?
I'll have barbecue sauce, which of course has tomatoes in it.
But no actual, like you wouldn't eat it like an apple?
Never.
Oh, yeah. I would eat tomato products.
Yeah, but not the tomato.
But now I don't like them sliced on a sandwich, like the beefsteak tomatoes or whatever. But just those little cherry tomatoes.
Those are okay?
Those are okay.
You like those?
Yeah.
Do you have to convince yourself they're more cherry than tomato, or do you just accept them as tomatoes?
It's the name that got me.
You know what it is? You like the little things, the little miniature things. Self-serve. Yes. I mean, one serving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because then you feel like a giant when you're eating it. Right?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
That makes sense. Now
I don't think there's one thing I don't like.
Nothing? Really?
I eat liver.
Yeah.
I eat onions, Brussels sprouts. Yeah. I love radishes. That's one of my favorite treats.
They don't have much taste.
They'll put a little salt on it.
Yeah.
I like to eat radishes when I'm making dinner.
Oh. As like a warm-up for dinner?
That's when I'm out of wine. But otherwise, it's drinking wine. But
Wendy, have you tried this new radish wine? It's so good.
I don't think there's one thing I don't like.
Wow. That's impressive. Everybody has some
beets. Do you like beets?
I love beets.
Do you really?
With onions and blue cheese and a red wine vinegar.
Oh, it is the
best snack.
Dave almost threw up. Did you see Dave almost throw up? He recoiled.
You're strange, Wendy. You are. That combination is just out there.
Oh, it's amazing. You've never had a beet salad? Very popular.
Mm.
I originated it.
You invented the beet salad.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Dave, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciated. Tell Karen the fruit baskets will continue, but I'll lay low on the strawberries.
She'll be glad
from
to
here
hear
on.
That. Thank
I will.
You.
Wendy, we were talking about Tom Brady, who apparently... I was sure Jasmine would bump in with Strawberry Alarm Clock.
That's what I have queued up,
positive.
And I forgot to tell her that, darn it. All right, hang on.
We'll do the real show.
This.
We'll get that right. There it is. Incense peppermint.
Does he eat that?
Yes, he does eat incense and peppermints. Where did this text go? All right, let me set this up. We're talking about Tom Brady, who, according to this story, had a bet with his wife over Jeopardy, and he said, if I lose the bet, I'll eat a strawberry. And you go, well, what's the big deal? Well, the legend is that Tom Brady has never had a strawberry, but now we're reading something to the contrary.
Thanks to a listener tipping us off on the text line. This, according to The Cut, dated March 19th of last year, 2018, it says, Tom Brady finally ate a strawberry for the first time last week, just about a year and a half after admitting that he had never tried the easily accessible fruit before. Now he has further clarified his stance on strawberries. He basically hates everything about them. This is what he told People in a new interview last year. I just don't like them. At the end of the day, I just don't like the taste. I don't like the smell, the texture, or anything.
Wow.
Doesn't really have to do with my diet. It's just more of my preference, but somehow it got wrapped into my diet. He is on an ultra-restrictive and mostly vegan diet.
The list you read is highly restrictive.
Yep.
It mentions every kind of food I love.
You can never, ever ingest white sugar, caffeine, MSG, dairy, nightshade vegetables.
What is that?
Olive oil and more. But so this is contradictory to what...
To this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. Several people weighing in on the text lines about either their love or hatred of strawberries. One says, this is from 708, my mother tricked me into eating a strawberry 70 years ago. She told me that it was a cherry. I've never had a strawberry since, and I still haven't forgiven her.
You can't trick your kids. I was going to do that with that Beyond Meat burger or whatever, the Beyond burger. It's a plant-based burger.
Right.
I was going to trick them, and my son Dylan said, just tell me what it is. If you trick me, I'll be mad at you and never eat it again, just out of spite.
Something to that.
So just tell them, hey, it's a strawberry, and it's delicious.
When I was a kid, my parents had this thing going where they would give me a food that they knew I wouldn't want or like, but they would tell me it was shrimp.
Your parent, again, if someone doesn't write a sitcom about your life, you should do it. It's so bizarre, Bill, and you turned out okay.
I turned out okay, but I pride myself on knowing, for the most part, what is and what is not shrimp.
But you love shrimp.
So I do love shrimp, but that was their sales tactic, was he won't eat what we're about to give him, so we'll tell him it's shrimp and maybe he'll eat it. And I got to be honest, it worked once or twice. But after a while, you're like, this can't be shrimp. It's not the color or texture of shrimp. No, it's shrimp. Have it.
But you're kind of picky. You and Jasmine are both relatively picky on it. And not in a bad way.
Right.
You know what you like.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
You only get allotted a certain amount of calories in one day. You know, be choosy with it.
But I think Jasmine will, I hope she will agree with me. There are so many foods that I do like that why waste my time with the stuff I don't like?
Well, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, but you guys are hesitant to try new things, too.
Our rosters are filled.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got enough. We've got enough, literally, on our plate. There's nothing out. Why knock something out that you really like for something you don't like?
I love fish, and I never liked salmon. And you and other people were saying then you just never had it prepared correctly.
Correct, yes, yes.
I have since made the turn, and I love salmon.
Yeah.
Now, if I didn't keep trying it, I wouldn't be into it.
But when you enjoy it now, don't you go, I can't believe I spent all those years not liking this. It's so good.
It has to be prepared, you know, with a ginger soy kind of sweet way.
Yeah.
But
it's okay.
Yeah, I like it. But, I mean, if I were you guys, I would have never tried it again.
Right. I still try new things from time to time, but then I make that ugh face after I eat it.
You can name a fast food place, and I can tell you what you'd order from there. It's usually a ham sandwich with cheese, no mayo.
Right. No tomatoes anywhere near it. Right.
And then that means they double the tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah, because as soon as you say, please, no tomatoes, you see the light bulb go on over their head.
And Chinese food, it's some shrimp-related thing or orange chicken.
Right. That's a safe bet, right?
It's pretty easy to get you stuff.
Here's a question about Tom Brady. If he's following this highly restricted diet, does that mean that he makes the kids follow a similar diet?
Because
that would be, if you were a kid, that would be a torturous diet.
I don't mean to go against dads in any way, shape, or form, but usually the mom...
She decides what is and is not allowable for
the
kids to eat.
Sometimes that varies. You know, maybe there's a stay-at-home dad who does all the cooking, then it's his deal.
Right.
But that would just be my... I don't know what Giselle eats.
Well, with Tom Brady only playing football half the year, it means he's home half the year. Oh, so I imagine he has some say. Imagine Halloween, you bring home that giant pumpkin filled with candy, and Tom Brady goes, can't have this, can't have this, can't have this, can't have this. There's broccoli, you can have that.
So you automatically go to the candy. I was thinking, what kid would not be able to eat a chicken nugget? Because I don't know what it is in chicken nuggets,
right?
But kids love them.
Right. What part of the chicken is the McNugget? Go on, do it. It's your closing bet.
I don't do Jerry.
You don't do it?
No. I did it. But, I mean, have you met a kid who doesn't like a chicken tender or nugget?
It's an automatic. It's a slam dunk. Not at the Tom Brady house.
Mm-mm. And no strawberries.
No strawberries.
Kids love strawberries,
I
too.
No. It's a fast, easy snack.
And
you
Brussels
eat the whole
sprouts.
Thing except that little patch of green. You throw that at your brother. All right. We'll take a break.
What if you have a sister?
No, it doesn't work. You got to throw it at your brother.